Can you guys hear me? Guess not. You got me? Good deal. Thank you. Good evening. I'd like to welcome everyone out to our Wednesday night Bible study here at the Cary Church of Christ. Tonight we're going to conclude with what we've been talking about this quarter, basically stewardship. And this is the last lesson. And am I giving as I should? In the mindset for the class, as my tradition. Proverbs 4:23, keep thine heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And that points towards the four soils that are mentioned in Luke chapter 8, your heart. We pray that everyone will have the proper heart condition. But a way to help you get there, I think that Paul did an excellent job in Philippians in the fourth chapter to help us think the proper way. Or what to focus on. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. And our next scripture, our prayer for the class, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in a way everlasting. Bill, would you open us up with a word of prayer? Thank you, Bill. So we're going to open up with an example of giving from the New Testament. Who has Acts chapter 4, verses 32 and 34? Acts 2, 32. And read what's on the screen, please, so we'll all be focused on the same thing. Acts 4. Thank you. As you can see there, this is a carryover from Acts chapter 2, and the brethren were taking care of one another here in Acts chapter 4 once we got into this point, and there was not a needy person among them. And who has Acts chapter 11? Please read that, 27 through 30. You can see they're still helping out the brethren here. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, 1 and 5, please.
Not as we had expected, but they first
another group of people in support of the saints, and they were deep in poverty, and they were begging the apostles to help out. They were not expecting this, but they were begging to help. Mark chapter 12, 41 through 44. King James and the New King James, it uses the term mite in place of the two coins, and we know this as the story of the widow's mite. And this lady gave out her poverty, everything, all that she had to live on. And Jesus, in this particular case, he called his apostles over and said, hey, look at this, what just took place here, to show them an example of the proper giving or the proper heart when it comes to giving. Because as you can read there, he said, hey, there's been people who've given a large sums of money, but this woman gave more. And lastly, Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, and verses 10 through 11. They showed up, they were exceedingly joyful to be able to worship the king, the baby king at this particular time, and they bought gifts fitting of him, what he was going to be needing. Or you have one is the gold as far as going to a king, frankincense as for a priest, and myrrh to prepare for his death. But they came and worshiped him. They were prepared with their gifts, prepared. And they were exceedingly joyful to show up there to have this opportunity. So, what was the attitude or the focus of the givers in all of these situations? What was the focus? Reverence and honor. Anyone else? Was it inwardly or outwardly? They were focused on who they were giving to. It was truly a gift. Floyd said they were purpose in their heart. Neil. Eager and sacrificial. Absolutely. Basically the point that Neil just covered, the second one. How did they give in that particular case? Just like that. So, how can you, me, give like them? And notice I didn't say us or we. Because giving is something that's really personal. It's not, I can't give for Larry and Larry can't give for me. It just doesn't work that way. It's not a collective here. This is personal. No one knows how you give. And to a certain degree, I don't want to know how you give. That's between you and God. So, how can we give like them? I just said we're not as collective. So, how can you, me, give like them? Robert. He said, Paul stated, you have to purpose in your heart how much you're going to give. And that's an inward focus in the sense of looking at yourself to say, how much do I want to give? Anyone else? God loves a cheerful giver, so we have to be generous in our giving. 2 Corinthians 8:5. But they gave first to the but they first gave themselves to the Lord. Key point there. They turned their lives over. Their focus was on God. And the point that I have here with examining yourself, you have to realize where you stand in your heart with God. You have to benchmark yourself to know exactly where you stand. Because if you don't know where you stand, you don't know if you have anything to fix. Romans 12:2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Let God take over your life, and you will give properly. It was the second to last time I think I was up here teaching, and Bill Pons told us that people who don't have a problem with giving don't have a problem with hearing lessons on giving money. People who don't have a problem with giving, they don't mind hearing lessons on giving money of their means. They really don't. And this delayed you see here, it's hard for me to see the screen back there. So, to that point, how can you, me, give like them? Point one, remember who you belong to and who you're giving to. Back to the story of the account of the wise men who came to visit Jesus. Did they know who they were going to visit? And they gave gifts befitting a king. They knew who they were giving to, and they were happy. They were very happy. 2 Corinthians 8:3, for I testify that according to their ability and beyond their ability, the churches of Macedonia, that's the way that they gave. Give what you can and go beyond that. Give what you can and go beyond that piece also. Mark 12:44. For they all put in out of their surplus, but she, out of her poverty, put in all she owned, all she had to live on. Back to the point of your giving is personal. If all you have is a small amount to give, what do you give? That small amount. I'm not looking over Terry's shoulder, and Terry's not looking over mine. It's between you and God. Give sacrificially. That's how we can give like them. Ken.
Most churches. said most churches give about 4%. And he's using norms from the area demographics, et cetera, that they make that assumption. They gave us the loan because we were giving more than the average, and we were able to satisfy it. But in my mind, and I think, you know, and I don't know individually, but if collectively we're giving 6%, I know the Bible doesn't give us a number. But we do have the Old Testament for our learning, and we knew what their starting point was. And if we're giving below what the starting point was under the perfect law, then I have to, and at that point of giving sacrificially, I think should cause us all to pause and think about that.
Yes, sir. I'm sorry, that last piece that you said? We should not what? He said we shouldn't have any problem giving when we reflect on seeing what God actually gave to us, his son, and God owns everything. And Ken's point was in the United States, we sort of have difficulty understanding what it really means to give from, I'm sorry about hurting your neck, I'm moving back this way, about giving sacrificially because of what we have in this country. Sometimes it takes you to go outside of the country and you see what other people don't have and you're like, wow, we're really blessed here. And then he used the example of even with the building of when the congregation at the time was moving from Maynard over here to this location now, how we still were giving, or the congregation at the time was giving better than the surrounding churches. But they got secured the loan based on that, but it was still 6% giving collectively, if you want to say. And he's saying that we need to stop and reflect, because at least in the Old Testament, the 10% was there. And the question is, should we be given more than that? Because even in the New Testament, it doesn't come out and say, this is what you should be giving. Did I capture that, Ken? Jack? I'm listening to you. Yes, sir. To that point, that's why I brought up, if a small amount is all you can give, that's okay. It is what it is. It's, you give sacrificially. And to that point, it's going to be different for every person in this room. Yes, Trey. Trey asked the question of, is that, people not giving sacrificially, is that a lack of faith in God? Because he's using the example here during this time frame of they were living day by day. A lot of these people, they still had storehouses and things of that nature. And that's one thing, one way of looking at it. You can also look at it as they're just being greedy, just like the man who decided to tear down his barns to build bigger barns, if you want to say, so he can have. Trey still has one more comment, and then you, Robert. Yeah. Oh, not giving 10%. Possibly it could just be greed. You might not have 10%, and it might be greed. Is that what you're alluding to? You might not have 10%? It could be. And it, like I said, it could be just greed also. They don't want to give up 10%.
We are all
actually going to get into that down the road. And again, to that point of this is not a collective fault in a sense. The numbers on the board, that's cool out there. But it does come down to individuals. But we will get deeper into that. Ken Bush. Ken basically is talking about, okay, we're going to have to move on, guys. But Ken is basically talking about the attitude and your heart being correct. And if you remember from Ken's very first, he led us, the very first lesson for this quarter was about your attitude. And you've heard pretty much every single week, it's your attitude, it's your heart. It comes down to your heart. It comes down to your heart. And Lyleen, will you... Lyleen has hit on being a steward of your time. We got to move forward. Sorry about that. So I think this kind of helps us even, too, with the idea of it's not about necessarily a percentage, 30%, whatever. It's about your heart. And this particular lady, the widow, when she gave the two small coins, just a sidebar here as far as dealing with small things. The ocean is made up of drops of water, and mountains are made up of grains of sand. When billions of drops of water and billions of grains of sand are put together, they become powerful things. One brother's giving might seem small, but if he gives to the best of his ability, it becomes great. To Ken's point, Bush's point. God is going to do with that small piece that nobody else can ever do with. It's about your heart. It's about your heart. I hope that summed up that whole conversation that we were just talking about. Yes, Neil. Mm-hmm. He's talking about the situation where they had the five loaves of bread and God fed the multitudes with just, and they had surplus left over. And that's what I just read for you guys a second ago. Sorry about that. They knew who they were giving their gifts to. And back to that point. And who has Matthew chapter 25, verses 34 through 40? up on the screen, Derek, and loud too. Yeah. The point I'm trying to bring home here with the Matthew 25 passage is when these wise men, they went to go see Jesus as a baby, they saw him and they were worshiping him. But in this particular passage, Jesus says, if you do it to one of these, you're doing it for me. So whenever, in the end, it's always pointing back to God. At the end, everything that we do is always pointing back to God. It's always pointing back to him. All right, and these are some notes that I had from a previous lesson that we did back in 2016. It was during the summertime. And solving problems from God's, solving problems God's way. And this was our 12th lesson. And this is from a book from Wendell Winkler. And who has a 1 Corinthians 16, 1 through 4. Thank you, sir.
Now, concerning the election of the saints who are directed to churches of Galatia, so do you also. On the first day of every week, each one of you is to put aside and save as he may prosper, but no collections be made when I come. When I arrive, whomever you may approve, I will send them with letters to carry your gifts to Jerusalem. And if it is fitting for me to go also, they will go with me.
So they were going to carry the collection back to help. This was all about helping the brethren in Jerusalem. But there's so much information here that's captured in 1 Corinthians 16. And it still is about the idea of helping us to develop how to give properly. So, 1 Corinthians 16, 1 through 4, it provides us with the why, the when, the who, the where, and how much for New Testament giving. And it also is a springboard for so many other texts that are listed in the New Testament. So, it's commanded, number one. Now, concerning the collection of the saints, as I directed the churches of Galatia. So, the New American Standard and the ESV uses the term directed. And the ASV and the King James uses the word order, and the New King James uses the word orders. So we're all on the same sheet of music. It is a command to take up this collection. And through obeying this command, they are exhibiting love. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. When, who, and where? When to give? On the first day of every week. And as you have prospered. Each one of you, that's the who. Each one of you, where, in store. And I use the King James Version for this particular passage for the word store. It gives, if you read it from other versions, it could kind of lead you to think it's just you save it. But the key to this is that there will be no gathering when I come. The point is whenever he comes to town, you're not going to have enough time to get all the monies together. So that points back to the idea of they're storing the money collectively somewhere. And if you go back even from the standpoint of the widow's mite, where was Jesus? He was at the church treasury. Excuse me, at the temple treasury. So the idea of collecting monies all together has always existed. So store up your money together in so many words. And also, back to a passage that we used earlier, they took the money to Jerusalem by Barnabas and Saul so they could give it to the elders and the elders would distribute the money properly. How much? As God has prospered you. Just some food for thought. And this has covered some of the things that we've talked about this evening. God gave to us, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. There's no greater gift that's ever been given on this earth than Jesus coming to die for our sins. We can't beat that. God owns it all. You're just a steward. He already owns it. And how much do you love God? Yes, Ms. Josephine. Yes, ma'am. I get paid every other week, or I give as I get paid. Yes, ma'am, and that's when I would give. That's what I would do. Yeah. Yes, ma'am. No, ma'am. No, ma'am. Robert. But you still exercise by paying weekly or giving. Mm-hmm. Okay, hold on, Paul. So if you guys didn't hear on this side, what Ms. Josephine asked was it wrong to give? She gets paid once a month. And she said, is that wrong to give once a month? You know, and that begs the question of how has she prospered? And then Robert brought up the point of it's a spiritual exercise for him to go ahead and break his up if he was doing it monthly. He did it at one time. That was just a reminder to him, I guess, if you know, going along the same premise of the Lord's Supper. It's always a reminder to what you're giving your offering to God. We didn't say that. You're fine, Ms. Josephine. I don't think anybody said that you were doing it. You're doing anything wrong. You're good to go, Ms. Josephine. Your prerogative. Yeah. Even though we're talking about money, for those of you who might not have heard what Jack just said, he said it seems like how much we love God is based on how much we give monetarily. Since we're talking about money this week. But God's given us to be stewards over everything. So how much do you love God with your time, with this, with that? So how much you devote to God, it is a reflection of how much you love God. Jim. She gave all. And I think Jim really nailed it here in the sense of it's not, and repeat back what I heard him saying. It's not about what anybody else sees you giving. To a certain degree, as Ken put, not the amount, it's your heart. That's the whole thing. It's your heart. If you don't have a lot to give, you don't have a lot to give. No, that's all it is. That's all it is. We got to push on. How much? Purpose in your heart, from 2 Corinthians 9:7. So we can get into purpose and pledging and so on and so forth. It helps with the, now we'll get to the budget, if you want to say. It kind of helps us to figure out how we will be able to do things here if we know how much people have pledged, the purpose in their heart. Neil. Ms. Edna had her hand up for a few minutes. I saw you too, brother. Yeah, I saw you too. Yeah. She was saying, as a 21st century Christian, that we wouldn't think, she points back to the widow's mite and how the people there were giving out of their surplus, even though it was a large sum, how she wouldn't think, or she would hope, that we would not be doing the same thing today. Solomon said there's nothing new under the sun. People are people. No, we're always going to be the same thing. So, yes, that is still a problem today. That's just what it is. Yes, sir. He said it has to do with the condition of your heart. It's not about the amount. He said you could give a million, and if your heart's not right. And I think we have, that is the point. We all agree on, yes, Dottie. To sum up or close out, if you want to see what you really love monetarily, check your budget. You'll see where your money's really going. Thank you for your time.